Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final show of 2022 as we head into New Year's weekend. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go stock up now. Make sure you're ready for New Year's Eve tomorrow, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl. It is a big weekend of parties, watching lots and lots of football. Lots of football. College football playoff is tomorrow. And not only that, you've got the NFL big weekend coming up as well. And the Rose Bowl on Monday, Penn State and Utah. That'll be at 5 o'clock. We're on beginning at 3:30. Brewers Outlet, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. Lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. As always, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I mean, you really can't ring in the new year unless you make a stop at Brewers Outlet. You really can't. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. A big weekend, including Penn State basketball with Iowa back to the Big Ten after last night or yesterday afternoon's game with Delaware State. Iowa will be at 6 o'clock on Sunday. And then, of course, the Rose Bowl on Monday. I'm heading out after the show today, getting out to Los Angeles after the show. And we'll be there for the weekend, and then we're on at 5 o'clock, excuse me, we're on at 3:30 on Monday, and at 5 o'clock, 5:10 will be the kickoff. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a service department that does such great work that they're getting a lot of customers. And not only that, they need more technicians. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Peach Bowl is tomorrow. Georgia, Ohio State. Fiesta Bowl is tomorrow. TCU in Michigan. Lots of NFL this weekend. Rose Bowl on Monday at 5 with a 3:30 airtime on WKOK when Penn State takes on Utah. Coming up, our Rose Bowl preview. We'll get going with Ivan Maisel from On3.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back to today's show. Brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's New Year's weekend. Stock up. All right? It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. All right. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Still to come on the show, Jack Hamm, Bill Riley. Bill's the play-by-play voice of Utah. Tony Knopp on the show today. We're going to lead off, though, with Ivan Maisel from On3.com. My friend, it's always great to hear you on the other end. Welcome.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice, too, my friend. Okay, this has been an interesting few days. I don't think anybody didn't expect UCLA to end up in the Big Ten when it was all said and done. What did you think of the decision and the possibility of a subsidy and tax that might be kicked in?
Well, it was the solution that made sense. and avoided lawsuits. You know, I mean, because I would assume that the minute that UCLA said, yeah, never mind, the Big Ten would have sued them, or somebody would have sued them. And, you know, they this was an artful way to do it. It will be a bit of a drag on UCLA's progress. But, you know, some of us think that joining the Big Ten will be a bit of a drag on UCLA's progress. So we'll just have, now we get to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I will say this. What yesterday did, it now allows everybody to move forward. I think that's the most important part. The Pac-10, what's remaining, can move forward. The Big Ten can move forward. UCLA can move forward.
Yeah, and that's a feat. I mean, that, you know, that will help. I just can't imagine how it's going to work out in any way that is going to benefit the kids, you know, and that have to do all that traveling, and not only the physical wear and tear and the grind of it, but competitively. I don't know how they. I don't know how USC and UCLA are able to. I mean, you talk about a handicap. I mean, you know, Jay Paterno told me that he looked it up. There's no school that, I mean, not school, there's no team in the NFL that does more than two trips a year of more than two time zones. And you're asking, you know, the UCLA and USC teams to do, you know, four, five, six?
Right.
So, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that, and you're going to ask them, let's face it, in basketball, they'll have to do more. I mean, basketball will have to do more than that as compared to football. Going to 12 teams in the playoff, of course, seemed inevitable. Do you like the solution they arrived at?
I do, and I was a skeptic of it. I loved the idea of a four-team playoff. I didn't like the result. I think going to 12 will solve a lot of the current problems. And, of course, it will create problems that no one foresees, because that's what college football postseason does. you know, I mean, if you look at history.
So right.
Yeah. You know, it will – I think somebody pointed out that, you know, the first or second week in November, there'll still be potentially 20 to 25 teams and fan bases who have a dog in the hunt. So that will I think that will gin up, you know, interest and the fever pitch even more so than it is, you know, now. Obviously, you know, this year, as it turned out, was kind of a dull stretch run. You know, once USC lost Friday night, we pretty much knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Well,
it's interesting because it is snowing in State College. And a first-round playoff game might be played on this particular weekend.
Yes.
What's your thought on the home field component of this?
Well, you know, that's one of the things they've got to figure out, because the way that excuse me, if you do 5 through 12 now at home and then you don't, and then you go to quarterfinals, then, you know, 5, 6, 7, and 8 get a home game, but 1, 2, 3, 4 don't. You know, is that, of course, 1, 2, 3, 4 don't have to play a game. But, you know, that's, you know, I don't know whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent, but it certainly that, you know, that raised an eyebrow at that. And they got to figure out when they're going to play the games. I mean, does everybody now open the season on week 0, and we have conference championship games Thanksgiving weekend? Mm-hmm. You know, that would just to give them a little extra time to work around final exams. You know, when you say that, I go, ooh, you know, no.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Thanksgiving weekend and the conference championship games the first week of December, it's not like that was handed down on stone tablets. You know, I mean, that's – that's an invention of the last, you know, 25 years. So we would get used to that. If they moved it all up a week, we'd get used to it soon enough.
In the world of money, Everyone knows that this contract TV-wise will be up in a couple of years. In 26, there is a strong possibility of multiple TV partners, like there is in the playoff for everybody. Would multiple TV partners potentially mean 12 to 16 in your mind? Whether you and I object to it or not, do you think that's a possibility?
Well, you know, money is undefeated.
Oh, my goodness. So, you're rolling today, by the way.
Yeah, money's undefeated. So, yeah, sure. I mean, there's going to come a day when, well, 12 is great. Let's go to 16. Sure. And, you know, that would, you know, I don't know whether it's the best thing competitively or not, but, you know, that ship sailed a long time ago. So, you know, but let's get 12 rolling and see what happens.
Agreed.
And we'll go from there.
Agreed, completely. I think there was a list put out of the top 50 games of the year. I think you said you wrote you attended five of them, I think.
Yeah.
What was, A, the best game you saw, and then, B, what was the best team you saw in person?
Oh, that's a good question. I think Georgia was the best team I saw in person, which is not an original thought, but certainly true. And I only saw them, I think I saw Georgia-Tennessee was the only game I saw Georgia, but that was such a complete shutdown of what was a such a explosive offense. It was just a great performance. Well, the thing I'm still marveling over, Steve, is that I covered 12 games this year in 14 weeks, and eight of them were decided in the last 30 seconds or overtime.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and, you know, yeah, and I guess Alabama-Tennessee, it's hard to beat that with the way that the, you know, and that was number one on that list that, that somebody published. But, you know, TCU-K-State for the Big 12 championship game was an incredible performance. And, you know, and the consequences didn't really exist because TCU got in anyway. But, you know, to me, that was no different than France and Brazil losing their last game in the group stage and moving on anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it was just kind of way, you know, that's what happens now. But it was a remarkable season. It really, so far, it is a remarkable season.
Well, and by the way, it hurt France so much they're in the final. So I think they're going to be just fine. So then we do, at one point about TCU Kansas, it wasn't just that the game went to overtime, but what was it like for you to sit there? You've watched a lot of great individual performances where not only athletic skill, but heart came into play. What was it like for you watching Max Duggan on that day in Arlington?
Well, you know, if they had figured a way to get that last inch, it would go down in history. It would be remembered much longer than it probably will be. And but still, you know, that last touchdown drive was an 80-yard drive, and Duggan ran for 95 yards because they had an offensive pass interference. So he gained every single yard on that drive. And that's the reason that Sonny Dykes did not use him on the quarterback sneak. He said he was exhausted. Yeah. And I just did, you know, I got a big running back who's good in short yardage, so I used him. You know, would he spread the field next time? Probably so. But it was an incredible performance. And with a league championship on the line, that's what, you know, that team, you know, Michigan's going to have more draft choices. Michigan's got better talent, but TCU has got whatever that special something that special teams have, and I don't know if it'll make the difference, but it darn sure might.
Which game are you going to get to of the two?
I'm going out there. I'm going to go to
the Fiesta Bowl.
The Fiesta Bowl, because it's one plane trip. I'm just going to kind of loiter out on the West Coast until the championship game.
Okay, so. Gotcha. Then you go to L.A. after that.
Yeah.
Georgia will play, of course, Ohio State. No Trevion Henderson. Any quick thoughts on that one?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe we're all putting, well, I won't speak for you, maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on what I saw in Columbus, you know, with Michigan and Ohio State, but, you know, I just think Georgia's got too strong a defense and got the same or better level of talent in Ohio State. And Stetson Bennett is just a he's just a fun, you know, he's just a stone cold killer, and he's fun to watch. And yeah, he's 33 years old or whatever it is, but he's just I'm not going to bet against him.
Yeah, you're speaking for me. Yeah, the Michigan Ohio State thing really swung me too. Ivan, it's always a pleasure. It's always great to hear you on the other end. Just love just sitting here just talking back and forth. Appreciate you so much.
Thanks, Dave. Anytime.
Ivan Maisel on 3.com. Always great to be around him. You know, the first time I was actually around him was the 1996 NCAA basketball tournament at Providence. And he literally sat right next to me. That's the first time I met him. Was 96, and he's been around to many Penn State football practices over the years, covered many games over the years, and his fairness, and I mean fairness with a capital F, about how he handled everything here 11 years ago, you can't put a price on that kind of professional, and that's Ivan Maisel. Just terrific. Today's show is brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. Six great flavors of slushies. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills are indeed second to none at the great Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go out now and stock up. It's going to be a big weekend. Big weekend. All right? And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Bill Riley, the voice of Utah football, coming up in the next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Friday. As Penn State gets ready for the Rose Bowl against Utah, today being Friday, was the Wednesday practice. You're like, Wednesday? It's Friday. And tomorrow is the Thursday practice. And Sunday's the Friday practice, with the idea that Monday is Saturday in the game. That's how it plays out and works out when you get to
these games, like, for example, Purdue was the same way, different clock because it was a Thursday night game. All right. Well, this is the Rose Bowl. It's a Monday, so that's the clock that they're operating off of. So today was the Wednesday practice. This is the last big hitting practice before the Rose Bowl game itself. They did some hitting yesterday. They did some today. And then and tomorrow's a walkthrough. And then they do Fast Friday, and that will be on Sunday. So that's the schedule and how it works out. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. No question. You want to go to any New Year's Eve party, fully stocked, ready to go. They also have wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. If you're hosting, you want to go to Brewers Outlet. If you're going someplace, you want to go to Brewers Outlet. And if you're going to just sit there and watch games all weekend, you want to go to Brewers Outlet. All right? They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day to go with all those great snacks I just mentioned. And six great flavors of slushies. The Pickle Bar, love the Pickle Bar. Led by the Barrels and the Dills, my favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department to back it all up. Great technicians. And they need more technicians, in fact. You're looking for a job? Check out Sunbury Motors. It's all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. 5 o'clock on Monday, it's the Rose Bowl, Nittany Lions and Utah. We're on at 3:30 here on WKOK. Jack Ham will be coming up in the next half hour. He'll join me along with Brian Tripp, Roger Corey, and company from the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. And in the other broadcast booth will be Bill Riley, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Utah football and basketball. Bill, thanks so much for your time. Welcome.
You are too kind, Steve Jones. The check is in the mail.
Anytime, and I do take direct deposit. All right, so, Bill, I want to go back a year ago, and I don't mean the Rose Bowl. I want to go back to the beginning of last season. Charlie Brewer transfers in from Baylor. He is the starting quarterback. Kyle then decides to make the big move, and he inserts Cam Rising at quarterback, and Charlie eventually transfers and ends up at Liberty. What did Cam Rising bring to the table that was immediately apparent that it was the right move?
Let's go even a year further back to the COVID year, Steve, of 2020. Cam Rising was the starting quarterback. He was the guy, but on the third series of the first game against USC, he dives on a loose ball and tears his labrum on his throwing shoulder. So he's out, and Jake Bentley gets inserted. It was a disaster. Bentley had transferred in from South Carolina, but Rising had won the job in 2020. They loved him. He had transferred in from Texas, sat out for a year. The reason he doesn't get the start last year is they're not sure if he's completely healthy. They're not sure if he's got full strength back in his arm, and he and Charlie Brewer are neck and neck in fall camp. They went with Brewer because they knew Brewer was healthy and he had 3 years of starting experience at Baylor. Didn't make Cam Rising happy, but he stayed. And then 2.5 games in, Brewer was kind of a square peg in a round hole. He had never taken a snap under center in his life. Andy Ludwig's offense is kind of a combination of under center, shotgun stuff. And they put Rising in. Rising was a team captain, even though he didn't start the season. Teammates loved him. In retrospect, he probably should have started from the jump, didn't, but from the moment he goes in against San Diego State, they lose that game, but he rallies them back. They lose in overtime. They only lose one more game the rest of the regular season. They get to the Rose Bowl, the whole thing. He was an unquestioned leader. They loved him, but really the reason he didn't start last year was the shoulder injury. They just weren't sure where it was.
Bill, I just feel like every time I watch Utah play, and because it's the Pac-12, I actually get to see them play a lot. every time I watch him play, I just feel like he gives the entire offense swagger.
It's so funny you use that word, because the game that really turned it all last year was the USC game at the Coliseum. Yep. Utah was 2-2 going in. They had won 2 weeks before against Washington State at home, but weren't very good in that game. Then the night of that Washington State game, one of the teammates was murdered. Aaron Lowe was shot to death outside of a house party by a gang member. He came out to break up a fight and got shot to death. So they go into a bye week 2-2, but not having any swagger on offense and losing a teammate. They go to the Coliseum, and then everything changes. They rout the Trojans that day, the first of their three in a row against USC, and it was Rising. It was Rising's game that day. His confidence, his leadership, his ability to run the ball, to throw the ball, all of it, he was kind of what they needed. He was the swagger they needed. They got their swagger that day, and it was on the back of Cam Rising, and they've kind of followed him in the year since then.
Dalton Kincaid came in from the University of San Diego, not San Diego State, and made a real mark there. And because of injuries, he can't play in the Rose Bowl game. When you look at the depth at tight end, what are you seeing? Because obviously Thomas Yasmin, the rugby player, has certainly been a big plus for you.
Yeah, that's been it. I mean, really, they lose two tight ends. I mean, Brant Keithy was actually the guy. He was kind of an in-betweener. He was playing a little wide receiver. He's kind of that hybrid. Kincaid was more of a true tight end, kind of in the Travis Kelce mode. And so, you know, he's played the entire season. He's been fantastic, but he's been beat up really the last month or so. Made the decision on Sunday to heal up for the NFL draft. Nobody begrudges him that. He gave his body this year, the last couple of years for Utah. They've got, you know, they've kind of become tight end U out west here. They've got this kid, Yasmin, who had never picked up a football until 5 years ago. He's all of a sudden emerged. He's as tough as they come and is actually really good running after the catch. Got a few other guys, too, that are backups there, too. They certainly don't have the depth without Kincaid there that they did before. They've got some other guys in the pipeline they like an awful lot. But Yasmin's probably going to be the primary guy now with Dalton Kincaid down.
I do have to ask you, I know the wide receivers, I mean, are very good, especially Money Parks really impressed me in the championship game. But Curtis Enos' son is there, and of course I know Kurt, and that's Solomon Enos. What kind of job's he done? I looking at the numbers, it looks like he's been not great, but solid.
I think that's a perfect way to describe him, Steve. He came in out of Arizona. He's Curtis's son. Was a four-star kid out of the state of Arizona. He's come into the program, played here for 4.5 years, been a really good teammate, a solid wide receiver. I'll tell you where he's best. He blocks like nobody's business. I mean, his dad would have loved to have had him blocking on sweeps on the outside. The kid is physical. Yeah. He's tough. Solid wide receiver. Doesn't wow you with his physical traits. He's not going to beat you deep. He's a solid route runner. Catches the ball when they throw it to him. But, yeah, that's Curtis's kid on this team. He's probably their third wide receiving option. Devon Vele's number one, super athletic kid on the outside, former walk-on. You mentioned Money Parks, an emerging talent. He's going to be really, really good. And then Enos is probably the third wide receiver when it comes to playmaking and catching the football.
Obviously, you know, around the Oregon game, Thomas drops out after getting hurt. And Bernard's been good, but Jackson gave this off. He's had 2 100-yard rushing games here down the stretch for them. What kind of jump has he added at the running back spot?
Well, he basically fills the void left by Tavion. Thomas was so good a year ago, Steve, but he had a bunch of off-field things. And namely, there was a death in the family this year, an aunt very close to him that helped raise him. And he really never got back mentally, and then he hurt himself late. And so he's, you know, as much as they wanted him to be part of it this year, he's been so in and out that he hasn't been. So you mentioned JaQuindon Jackson. He was a four-star quarterback coming out of high school, Dallas area kid. Went to the University of Texas, way down on the depth chart, decides to transfer because Ty Jordan and Aaron Lowe, the two young men who were killed in the last 2 years, were here. They were friends of his from high school. So he comes in here. He battles for the backup quarterback spot to Rising, loses out. So what usually happens, Steve, in this day and age when you lose, when kids today aren't given immediately what they want in college football or college basketball? Well, let's hit the transfer portal.
Yep.
JaQuinta Jackson doesn't do that. He starts chasing punts and kicks. This kid was battling to be the backup quarterback. He's a four-star kid. He gets demoted to third-string quarterback, and all he does is go out and starts chasing punts and kicks. You'll love this. So he gets in at running back in the Arizona State game, gets a few carries. The offensive coordinator, running backs coach, decide they want to give him a chance. And so he gets seven or eight carries, picks up 30, 40 yards. We talked to him on the post-game show, and I said to him, I said, JaQuinta, I said, you know, it's pretty amazing that, you know, you're getting this second chance. I said, but I said, a lot of kids would have, you know, would have entered the transfer portal. Why didn't you do that? He said, well, I thought about what my buddy Aaron Lowe would have done. And when Aaron came to Utah, he thought he'd be a starting corner right away. He got here for 2 years. He wasn't. He was a backup and a special teams guy. And I thought about Aaron, and Aaron didn't quit, so I wasn't going to quit on this team either. I got to tell you, it got dusty in the broadcast booth. Then I relay that message to Kyle Whittingham when we do the coaches show 2 or 3 days later. I've known Kyle Whittingham for 18 years. Yeah. He's become a little bit more emotional in his older age, as a grandfather and other things. He got choked up on the air hearing that. He's a team guy through and through. This kid hasn't played running back since his freshman year of high school. He's gotten better and better. He's filled the void. This kid was a quarterback to begin the year. He's now got the future. He's going to be probably running back one moving forward here for Utah, and he's gotten better and better every week. He fills the void left by Tavion Thomas. He's the big, he's 6'2", 225, runs that 4.4, 4.5. You saw the championship game. He ran away in that late touchdown from the USC secondary. He's become a really good running back and a really good story, too.
Clark Phillips is one of the top players in the country. Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year has decided that he'll get ready for the draft. When you see a guy with 6 interceptions and only 24 tackles, that tells you after the interceptions they start throwing in his direction. So what you know, that'll be a void. So how does Utah fill that void?
Well, unlike the Rose Bowl a year ago where they asked Mekhi Bernard, the third string running back, to play corner and try and cover Jaxon Smith-Njigba, that was not a winning formula, as many saw, or Marvin Harrison Jr., or anybody that they were throwing out there. There's some depth now, and they were hurt last year. They were down, you know, they were obviously down three corners last year. One of their starting corners is going to start. That's JT Broughton. He's very good. He's the guy that gets thrown at more because they don't throw at Clark Phillips, but still very good. And then a kid that's really emerged this year that's going to be, I think, the next great Utah corner is a kid named Zamaya Vaughn. He was a walk-on to the program 2 years ago. He played high school quarterback. They saw him play high school quarterback and said, we'd love you to come to our program. He's a 4'3 kid. He's 6'1 and about 200 pounds, super long.
Wow.
He's really started the last 4 or 5 games for Utah, and it's made a huge difference in the secondary. He'll slot in to where Clark Phillips played, and then they play a 3-safety look to kind of have one of the safeties almost play in the nickel spot. So they'll be okay. I mean, Zamaya Vaughn's a good player. He ain't Clark Phillips yet, but he's got a real bright future.
Kyle's been like James in that he's been very selective in the transfer portal. Part of the being selective in the transfer portal is Gabri coming in, joining his brother, coming in from Stanford, and Mo Diabate in the middle from Florida. What have they meant to the overall look of the Utah defense?
Well, both those guys have been part of the defensive turnaround. Diabate had some struggles early playing in a new system with some new teammates. Crazily athletic, started for 2 years at Florida. They've used him to rush the passer. They've used him to play in coverage. He's very good. And then Gabe Reed was a 4-year starter at Stanford. As you mentioned, his brother Kareni's a linebacker here. He's a Utah kid. Came back home for his 5th year to play. He was really beat up injury-wise during fall camp and early in the season. But they lost one of their starting ends in Van Fillinger, who's very, very good, about a month and a half in. Gabe is slot. He had been in the rotation. They slot him in as a starter. he's been fantastic. He's kind of the old man of the group at 24 years old with some of these young defensive ends. And those two transfers have been really good. They've got another kid that was a 1AA All-American at Southern Illinois named Clayton Isbell. And you'll see him a lot when they go to three safety packages. But, you know, you're right. Kyle doesn't go in there like Lincoln Riley and some of these other guys, Coach Prime, and grab 25 guys. He doesn't really need to because they've recruited well. But they've used it just the right way, plugging the right holes. And those two guys have been really key guys this year.
Finally, it's a back-to-back Rose Bowls for Utah. I know they were thought of a college football playoff contender going in. So what's the viewpoint not only about going to the Rose Bowl, but the fact that Penn State's the opponent?
Well, people here are excited. They gobbled up the whatever the allotment was and then some in the first one. It got so, I mean, got to the point where you can't find flights from Salt Lake City to L.A. like 2 days after they're announced to the Rose Bowl. People are, they couldn't be more excited. We're lucky out here, Steve, because it's about a 9.5-10 hour drive. You can break it up, stop it in Vegas, or drive all the way through. Utah fans are ecstatic. I mean, you're conference champions again. And, hey, you're going to the Rose Bowl, for goodness sake. If you're not in the playoff, be in the Rose Bowl. And Penn State, you and I have talked. You and I talked a couple of years ago when Utah and Penn State matched up in the NIT final. Yeah. I joked with you. I said, maybe we, at some point in time we can meet up in football, do a home and home. Well, you and I will have to work on that with our ADs, but at some point in time, I love the fact that they're and it's Penn State's such a classic program. They are. People out here are college football fans. And going to the Rose Bowl and get to play Penn State is awesome. Ohio State was great a year ago, but to be fair, Ohio State's fans didn't travel. There was a little, you know, playoff disappointment until about the second half. The players didn't seem to be too into it. I don't get that sense this year, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't get the sense Penn State fans or the team is disappointed going to Pasadena.
They are thrilled. They are thrilled. I can't wait to get out there. I can't wait to get out there and also get a chance to catch up with you again face-to-face, my friend. Thank you so much for the time today. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, Steve, thanks. Tell the Nittany Lion fans we look forward to seeing them down in Pasadena, and I'll talk to you soon.
Bill Riley, the play-by-play voice of Utah football as well as basketball. As we mentioned earlier, the last time we crossed paths in person was at the NIT at Madison Square Garden. The NIT championship game, which Penn State won over Utah, again back in 2018. And I'll see Bill on Monday in Pasadena when Penn State takes on Utah. College football playoff is tomorrow. It'll be Michigan and TCU in the Fiesta Bowl. That's the nightcap. The opener is Ohio State taking on Georgia in the Peach Bowl. And that will be all tomorrow. I know they've tried to go to this model with the semifinals on the Saturday before New Year's. You know, now next year it's going to be the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, so it's going to be on January 1st next year. So they will do it then. And you'll see that the ratings will be really good for it next year too, as a matter of fact. When it's ever the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, it's on January 1st. The ratings are always really, really good because it's just natural. And I know that, you know, you can play with traditions a little bit. So I understand that. But it's amazing how in tradition, people still follow them and enjoy them. And the Rose Bowl, by the way, on Monday is going to get a terrific rating. I know there's a Monday night game after it, but it is the last college football game before the playoff and before the championship game. And there's nothing like the idyllic Rose Bowl setting. Nothing. Today's show is brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the big New Year's Eve weekend now. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jack Hamm, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.